man, I'm fighting back tears, like just talking to you because you are grounding me. You are that person that I need because I don't have my wife here, my kids, my mom is no longer around. Like everybody's in Texas. I'm here by myself. Then I had a guy catch a one-handed catch that my son talked about to this day. I'm like, That haunted me for a very, very long time. But that's why I say, like, I don't have the opportunity or luxury to go into the tank. It's an island. I've been out for 10 years in some games. Like that game, I felt like, am I the only person out here right now? Like, he is killing me right now. Jesus, help me.
Welcome into the lounge. This is going to be one of our best episodes.
I think so too. You know, we're feeling much better this week. You know, last week was kind of down. Tough loss to the Steelers. Now, we're talking playoffs. You know, I made reservations for a nice steakhouse in Minnesota the first weekend in February.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got that. That's reservations for two, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I went ahead.
My drinks?
No, this is, I make the reservations, you get the tab.
Ah!
That's how it works.
Ah,
yeah.
Gotcha.
That's why I'm bringing it. I know you're so generous.
Anyway, you know, the podcast bump was in full effect against the Browns.
Yep.
Judon, big sack, tackle for loss. He had a good game. So we decided to double down on that and go with another Grand Valley State product. Double down on the podcast bump and bring in cornerback Brandon Carr.
We're really excited about that. We're going to get to our interview with Brandon here in a second. But before we do that, as always, we'd love to hear from you guys. And you can send us your emails and your comments and your questions to the email thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. And we have this audio question. We love the audio questions.
Love the audio questions.
This one is from Dylan Diggs.
Hey guys, Dylan Diggs from Frederick, Maryland calling in here with my son Paxton Diggs. If you guys remember, I called back in May when he was just born, and I said that he'll be a Ravens draft pick in some 20 years. I still stand by that. You guys asked what position it would be. I think, given how angry he gets at times and how small he is, he's in the bottom percentile, I think he's going to be like a Steve Smith. So I just wanted to call in and say, keep up the good work. I'm hoping that we get into the playoffs, and beat the Steelers because my sister-in-law and her family are all, Steelers fans. I know, Pax, that loss was rough. And, you know, my last suggestion is to have an all-star Ravens, historical draft. Maybe Mink can win that one. All right. Thanks guys. Bye.
So thanks, Dylan, and most importantly, thanks to Paxton. We appreciate the question. I appreciate the call, so to speak.
I was on a radio interview. Did you see this?
Yeah, you basically were the same as Paxton with your kid just making all sorts of noise.
Oh, my kid's like a little over a year and a half, and it was way worse than the noise Paxton was making. And you guys whisked him away, thankfully, but it can be tricky.
Yeah.
It can be tricky. I've been there. But anyway, let's.
I like his idea. By the way, maybe we'll come up with another draft, and one of these drafts you'll be able to win.
I've won multiple drafts.
The people have spoken. You haven't won any of them, but we'll try to come up with something to just kind of throw you a bone, give you some confidence. You know, just make you feel a little.
I need a rebound game.
Yeah, you need a rebound game. Make
homecoming
you feel a little
game.
Better. Yeah, who are we gonna schedule? Who are we gonna schedule for that homecoming game?
Anyway, before we get to that, we are going to have a Ravens giveaway. Garrett, give them the details on this.
Yeah, so if you guys have been following us on social media over the past over this month, we've been giving away something every single day, some awesome swag.
Yeah.
Some really good
swag.
How
much did you skim off the top?
I really wanted to. Some of these prizes come in, and I'm like, you know, it's a $500 gift card. It's going to be a $400 gift card. Yeah, I wish I could do that. I'm too honorable of a man. That's why we don't let you run the giveaways.
Yeah,
because
right.
If it was you running it, they would be walking out the back door. No, but we have an awesome giveaway. We're going to be giving away a signed football by Marshall Yonda and also 3 hours of free limo service from ZBest Limos.
That's pretty awesome.
And so we're going to give away the code word for that a little later in this episode. So that's teaser. Yeah.
That's a
teaser.
So we gotta listen. You gotta listen. No fast forwarding.
Yeah.
No fast forwarding.
We're gonna give away that code word a little bit later for our friends at ZBest Limo. So with that said, let's go ahead and welcome in our friend Brandon Carr.
Let's start out talking a little football here. We're gonna get into your personal life and stuff like that and kind of, you know, behind the curtain a little bit, but we'll talk a little football off the start. So was Sunday's game ceiling interception. I'm on Snapchat right now.
I see Levine do it, so you know, I gotta be a follower, man.
You have to return serve, huh? Was Sunday's game ceiling interception the easiest of your 10-year career?
Oh, man. It looked easy?
It was right there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to say that I could have made that interception, but I maybe could have made that interception.
Well, you know, it just came from, the play kind of started off wacky with just their formation was kind of odd, where they put the tight end on the outside. So normally Levine was supposed to go out there and had a tight end, and myself and Maurice supposed to check the two receivers on the inside.
Okay.
So that just kind of threw us off. They motioned tight end back in. Okay. So I'm running back in trying to, like, make it right. But everybody locked in to their man, so I'm like, okay, let me stay on him. I got 87. They take their guy. So I seen the pick screen fail, right?
Right.
To Gordon.
Right.
I'm like, okay, that play's dead. Rookie quarterback. Flashbacks to the last time I played when he starts to scramble. Like, get ready for a pass.
Right.
Right.
Errant throw. So my tight end went to go block, which was illegal, you know, can't block wire downfield.
Right, right,
so I'll get off of him, I'm just gonna fall back to the end zone and just play in center field and just kind of watch his eyes and the flow of everything. And I seen the running back kind of go behind me. I took a step back and he let it fly. So I'm looking at it like, oh, too easy, I guess, right? Whatever.
Well, after you explain it, there's a lot more. You know, I don't know that I would have had all those same thoughts go through my head.
There's a lot that goes into it, man.
It's true.
I guess we're just thinking of once the ball was in the air, I was like, that one, that was a floater right to him. But all that stuff before, that's a little bit, that's above our heads.
I needed that one, man. You know, it's just been a long week, long 2 weeks, and I had to kind of bounce back, play hard this game, and just trying to just focus in on just being my best every single play and just letting the last play go. And, you know, just kind of fell into my lap, and it was a game-changing kind of a stop their momentum, so to speak.
Sure.
And it was going into making 17, one-score ball game.
Yeah, I think it would have made a one-score game.
So I guess it was pretty big, and I look back at it.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
You know, after the game, you get the game ball, and you kind of talked about how it was a tough week and all that, but what did that mean? You get into the locker room, and I'm sure you've gotten game balls over the course of your career, but you get there, and you're rewarded with that in that moment.
I mean, just reaffirms to myself, like, just continue to stay the course, man. Continue to do your part. Be a professional at all times. You have bad games, bad days, good games, but you have to just stay even keel, man. Just continue to be yourself, and, you know, I was rewarded with that. But the biggest reward that I've got, man, I just checked my email, which is crazy. I don't check it all the time, but I checked it today, and OJ had sent me an email before the game.
Oh, wow.
So I just read it at home, you know, fighting back some tears and stuff. I was like, man, that was pretty motivating, and just for somebody's always watching you, so, you know, somebody's always watching you, whether you know it or not, whether they're miles away or up top here or wherever, somebody's always watching you, so I always make it my duty to, you know, be a professional all the time and just try to be a role model for those that, you know, that are watching. I don't know if watching.
Can you share it all, a little bit of what OJ's message was?
Basically, he just talked about the week I had, like the game of last week.
Right, the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, I'm just, he's just curious to see how I was going to respond this week. You know, he's been watching me ever since I've been here in April, you know, how I prepare and just train, and, you know, I catch a pick and take it back 100 yards and just try to, you know, get myself ready. Right. He's just curious to see how I was going to respond, and I think I was up to the challenge this week.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, that was one thing, like, when we spoke during the week, I mean, you know, I was one of the reporters that interviewed you in Pittsburgh after that game, and you stood up and just, you know, you were upfront about it, you know, about the game that you had, and it wasn't like the worst game, but it wasn't your best game, you know. And then during the week, you know, I came and talked to you again at your locker about how are you going to bounce back against the Browns, and like I was just so struck and impressed by the way that it was like Pittsburgh hadn't happened. So it's interesting to hear from you, like there was a lot of internal struggle.
I never watched the film. I just watched it after the game this past week. I watched both of the games.
Yeah,
I didn't watch them. I'm not watching.
You just burned that. You're just like, no.
I knew how I play. I didn't like it. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to continue to beat myself up over it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Let's get to the next week, man. Get energy back going. Some great things happened after that game.
Yeah.
That kind of just jump-started my week to just those. It's a game. You know, it's a game. We play a football. It means a lot of people. But this at the end, it's a game.
Right.
And people go through a lot of things in life that it's not a game, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, so I had a situation happen after that. That Monday, I went to go get food, and I was like, let me get some dessert. So I went to this restaurant to get a milkshake, and I was pulling to the parking lot, and I seen, like, a homeless guy, whatever, talking to a couple, but they just, like, kind of ignored me and walked away. So I'm parking, and he's, like, standing there in front of me, like, in front of my car, and he's, like, looking at my car, like, well, that's nice. I'm just like, okay. I said, give me a second, man, because I know you want to ask for some money, whatever.
Yeah.
I normally don't give money, but just when the feeling is right, you know, you just.
Yeah.
But this one took a step further. I got out. And something inside of me said, let me just talk to him. I said, what's your story, man?
Yeah.
This guy was so brilliant, man. Like, the way he talked, he was a veteran on the streets, been out of service for, like, what, 8 years or something. Was, like, one of the highest clearances that there were. So I guess whatever happened, he had to get gone and move around. Wow. But just to hear him talk about what he's been through in life and his day, and then talk about the game, and when he finally, I finally told him who I was, like how he just acted and things, I'm just like, I said, man, I'm fighting back tears, like just talking to you because you are grounding me. You are that person that I need because I don't have my wife here, my kids, my mom is no longer around. Like everybody's in Texas. Like, I'm here by myself, and right. You out of all people are the person that kind of like brought me back to life to get me going for this week. So his name was Joshua. So I took a picture, sent him an email, Joshua19. Is what I sent to him. So I mean, it's just little stuff in life that if you're aware and awake, man, it can kind of get you back on your path that for your purpose. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, hopefully, Joshua is a podcast listener too.
I don't know. I'll find him again.
Shout out to Joshua.
Shout out to Joshua.
You hear this, buddy?
Is that something you've ever done before, or was that just something you felt like in that moment you just needed to have a conversation with this person? Because that seems like it would be pretty rare. I mean, I've never done that.
I thought about it while I was sitting down and talking to him. But I mean, it wasn't no fear. I go off my intuition and I'm a vibey person. I go off vibes and stuff. And he just felt like a genuine person that just, he probably needs somebody to talk to as well. I mean, he wanted to have somebody to sit and have a conversation, a meal. It worked both ways. But I mean, I'm making my duty, man, just to service others, man. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than Brandon Carr, whatever this is, whoever I am as a person, man. I feel like my purpose is to roll my sleeves up, you know, get dirty, get in the mix with everybody else. And while fans, whatever they may call you, a superstar, celebrity, all those things, but I'm like, that's just temporary, just for now. I'm using that to get into these different circles and help the people that really need to be helping things.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. That's really cool.
So obviously that event kind of helps you get over that game. I mean, when you go from that game and then you're going towards the Browns game, like what is your thought process during that week? Is it a while to get over it? I mean, you joked about not watching the film. I mean, how long does that process take? What kind of, you know, evaluation do you go through in your mind?
Took me about like 3 days, honestly.
It did?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the cliche answer is like, oh, as soon as I got off the field, I was over it.
That's
and
a lie.
I'm like,
that's a lie.
Yeah, that's a lie, right?
No, after I got off the field, I just kept on, like, I was quiet, I just started yelling, I'd be quiet. As soon as I got in my car from the plane, you probably could have heard me back, and you could have heard me in Australia. I was just going crazy. Just get it out. But just shaking back, and like my coach, Coach Chris Hewitt, did a great job this week. Little stuff, man, just asked me, are you okay? Nobody's ever asked that before. I'm like, I'm all right. I could do this every day. No, mentally, are you okay? I said, dang, you care. So, you know, when a person cares for you, like I don't know how you guys do, but when people care for you, like you give more, you open up more, you give yourself more, you just become more comfortable within the surroundings now. You know,
right.
I felt like it's an island. I've been out for 10 years in some games. Like that game, I felt like, am I the only person out here right now? Like, it's killing me right now. Jesus, help me. Help, I can't keep up. Jesus. So my teammate did a good job just telling me, like, man, you're not out there by yourself. Like certain plays they want back as well. So it just kind of helped me, like, okay, we all had plays on the field that we wanted back.
Right.
So I'm not the only person feeling this way. So we all just shook it off and let's get back to doing our thing, man, dominating. So,
right.
Yeah.
Is Antonio the tough – is he the best receiver in the game right now after that game?
Man, he is great, man. So I feel like that was his first game getting off on me. I've been playing him for a lot of years now.
Had you match up for him?
Yeah, I've played him a lot of years now. That was like his first game, you know, having his way, so to speak. What I see him on TV doing the different DBs, I'm like, dang, he finally got me. So I'm like, shake it off, man. That's what I say. I've been playing for 10 years. It's whatever. I've had a few bad games. I had a guy catch a one-handed catch that my son talked about to this day. I'm like, shunk, But it encouraged him to do one-hand catches now, so he's a great catcher as well. Hey.
So when we were getting ready for this podcast, we were debating in the cafeteria whether we would ask you about the Odell Beckham catch.
Oh, man. I don't care, man. You know, it's a... I wish it wasn't me, but at the same time, man, it had to be somebody. And I look at that play, man, I said, that was some great defense all up until that pass interference. He threw me down.
Offensive.
Yeah. But, you know, it was, that haunted me for a very, very long time. But that's why I say, like, you learn from your experiences. Like, I'm here now. I don't have the opportunity or luxury to go into the tank like I did. That tanked me for a while, you know.
Really?
Just kept my momentum, my confidence, and I didn't get that question from my coach asking me, was I all right? Like, I didn't get that that concern, so it just kind of messed with me in a different way. But now I'm like, okay, situation happen again, this is another test for me. Am I going to pass this test? Am I going to bounce back, or I'm going to let this one game kill me for the last? We got three more games we got to win and get to the playoffs. It doesn't, right. That's okay. It's done, bro. Let's get to the next one. So that's like this was my first real test of adversity away from home with my new surroundings and just me being myself. And
you know, passed.
I think I've passed. I just got to keep on going and continue to build on last week's effort.
Yeah. All right, so we want to talk about kind of your story a little bit. You're drafted in 2008 in the very first round. Fifth round.
Yeah, fifth round. I thought earlier you were joking.
Yeah, right. The fifth round.
That was a good one.
Right. And you start, what I was going to say, you start your very first game.
Yes.
You start your very first game, and you've gone on and started 158 games in your career. So when you get drafted, I mean, when guys are drafted mid to late round, people don't assume necessarily that they're going to start really at any point, and you start right away, you win that job, and then you've never come off the field. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, how mind-boggling is that to you?
Honestly, it's not at all. I mean, where I'm from, like we've been built up like to be so resilient, but like we just had this confidence about us. From high school, when I first started training, my very first trainer, before we knew about trainers, was a guy, Jerome Batson, 11th grade, started training myself and like three or four of my friends. The first day I went to his facility, I didn't want to play football no more. We worked out hard, but the last workout was we went to this back room, probably no bigger than this, and we did like abs and push-ups.
You're like, I'm out.
And I went home and I just tossed and turned and I just couldn't sleep. I was done. I'm a basketball player. Right. Football, I just do it because my brother was a starting quarterback, so I'm gonna play. I'm pretty good too, whatever. So right. I did it.
You're gonna be the next Flintstone.
Yeah, right. That's why I went to Michigan State, play ball. Right, like right. Charlie Ward was my idol. He played basketball, football, went to Florida State. So right. That's what it'd be like. So the next day, not going. No answer the phone, don't call me. My friends, like, 2 o'clock, no. So I got smart. They coming over, whatever. Ran, I went upstairs to the bathroom. Can't come up here. Doom, 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 doom. You know, friends, they come in the house, open the door, walk past, hey, Miss Carr, he upstairs, right upstairs. Hey, bro, let's go.
Dragging you out of the room.
Dang. And ever since then, man, he just put something like, planted a seed inside of me like, that you can do whatever you put your mind to, man. I always been like the underdog, little guy with goggles on the basketball court, getting fouled, my lenses pop out. You know, my dad was my coach, so like I got to battle. People think that I'm not good because my dad's my coach, so I'm right. playing, but no, I'm really good. I'm making all tournament teams, traveling across the nation. So like I had confidence in myself. Got to college, I'm like, I'm not going to redshirt. Like I'm going D2. Like, who redshirts at D2? That's how we talk. So I went there, I looked at the roster, so I'm gonna take your spot. It's like all fresh or sophomores and juniors. I'm right. like, you ain't played yet, so there's a reason. So I'm gonna come in. So I came in, right. redshirted my first game, went to the game, drove to Ferris State about an hour drive, and witnessed the cornerback like broke his ankle, dislocated his foot or something, not knowing, but the next week, get called in like, we're gonna start dressing you. Oh, get so next game comes around. My family there, they all excited.
Oh wow!
Did not play. Okay, cool. But the next week, put me in like it's an Oakey package, my little nickel package. Uh-huh. It was on and popping since then, and I never looked back. And then I got to NFL. Wow. It was the same mindset. I just want to get my foot in the door. I know it's gonna be harder. I'm probably go to a team that I don't want to. Go to, which was Kansas City. I knew I was gonna go there. When I went to the visit, I was like, this is so boring here, but it reminds me of Allendale, Michigan. The system was the same system we played in college, the shuffling corner and all that stuff.
Right.
I was like, this is where I'm going. And like, was at home, draft day, three days back then, right? Three days, yeah. First day, second day. I knew I wasn't getting drafted first day, whatever. Second day, I'm like, it's a slim chance, but no. Third day, we get up, go have breakfast, come back home, watch a little bit. I see like three corners go. I said, oh, it's okay. This might be the day. A lot of corners. Like 25 corners went out in 08 or something. And so like, I had too much going on. Went outside, I was like, let me play basketball. I started shooting around. My dad almost fell out the door. Bang, bang, bang. The phone. I was like, oh, here we go. Herm Edwards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Carl Peterson. I'm like, okay. So boom, I was just like, you're my birthday present.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Get there, man. It was just like, when I got there, I just had to grind, had to work, beat some guys out their spots.
Right.
Was the third corner. just so happened that first game against the Patriots was Tom Brady, the game he got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Bernard Paul. And then that's when Matt Castle became Matt Castle.
Yeah.
So that was my first start. Randy Moss, Tom Brady, all those guys. Wow, like, it was crazy, man. I remember that bus ride into Foxborough through the neighborhoods and stuff. Just like.
Did you guys win that game after he went down?
No, we lost, man. We lost by, I want to say it's 4 or something. Because we had took a slant all the way down to the 5 or something.
Yeah.
And just couldn't get in at the end of the game. And we had him, though. But, like, just my mindset was always just give me opportunity. I'm going to make the most of it. And like I said, I started nickel. So that was my first start, which was nickel. And then the next game, I started nickel as well. So I was another start nickel. And the second game was when Pat Surtain ended up hurting his shoulder. And he was like pretty much done for the rest of the year. So I got those first two starts on the steal of nickel back coming in to start the game. And then my next after that was just
outside
156
starter.
More games later, just straight base coming in. So it was.
What's the closest you ever come to missing a game?
Yeah.
2013 was a rough year for me. I was battling like never really got the real answer, but like chronic Achilles injury, like after
Sounds like Jimmy.
Yeah, just like, that's why I was trying to talk to him and stuff about it, but like right after Atlanta game, get off the plane, man, I'm like, I couldn't even move my foot, like I'm just dragging it. And just went that way, you know, I'm a soldier, so I'm a battle back, whatever, I get it going. I play, I don't know how I'm playing, so I had a discussion with like some of my guys in my circle, like, man, should I shut it down? Because you like, you're gonna start putting out bad film and stuff, or like, should I just keep thugging it? So I'm like, let's just keep grinding this thing out, man, and started just seeing different people and just started learning about my body and just what's going on. Never still have an answer, so still battling now. It's a little bit better.
Yeah, really?
So I went, the Achilles?
I played my whole 13 until I left Dallas with that whole up and down Achilles thing.
Wow.
Like my parents, they finally realized what this game was really about when they came to visit me. And my mom just see me like throughout the week just be walking still like dragging and slow. But on game day, she'd see me, I'm out there like just flying. I get back home, I'd be like, oh. All I had was 3 hours.
How do you do that? I mean, is it just adrenaline? What is it?
I'm probably crazy.
Probably crazy.
It's adrenaline because when I pull up here, sometimes I'm limping. I got the car. Like there's something about it. I start walking like stronger. I get better. I don't like to show weakness around here. That's probably what it is. Like I like to just. I love the game so much, and then when it's over, it's gonna be over. So. I feel like I can fight through these things. Like I train hard. We train, put ourselves in so many crazy situations that. I feel like I can play on some of these injuries, you know?
Yeah. So. Funny story off that, just as a side real quick, is when I broke my fibula like 3 years ago or 4 years ago or something, right? So being a reporter for the team, you definitely don't want to show weakness. You know, I'm surrounded by football players who are actually getting really hurt, right? I didn't know I broke my fibula. I thought I just twisted my ankle. So I'm like coming in here, and I'm like doing the same thing. I'm kind of like limping, trying not to look like I'm injured or whatever because I don't want to look like, you know, I'm soft.
Right.
And then, so I didn't go to the doctor for like a month or so. And my wife finally, like the swelling did not go down. I had like a tree trunk down there. My wife finally forced me to go to the doctor, broken fibula, like it was like almost needed surgery or whatever. So then I come in on crutches after a month of limping around. People are like, what the hell, man? Now you're on crutches? Like, oh, I got even more abuse. So,
see what he's doing? He's trying to compare whatever
he's doing.
Basically, I know how it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a cool story.
Essentially, you know, like when I almost made that pick, you know, I could have made that pick.
Yeah,
I could
play
through injury, you know, same thing, you know.
Right.
I did have a dream last night that I was on one of Joe Flacco's receivers. Honestly, I had a dream that they called me into practice and Joe kept throwing me garbage passes, and so I couldn't show my skills, and I was getting pissed off.
That would have been a nightmare for Joe.
Yeah.
All right, it's a nightmare for Joe.
Back to Brandon.
We know you got a roll here soon, Brandon. So we don't want to make you late for the team meeting.
Yeah, I got 3 minutes. Huh?
We got 3 minutes, right?
Okay.
All right, so before we go, we want to ask you about your community work because that's something that I know that you love, you're passionate about it. Where does that come from? Is it from your parents? Like, how did that all kind of originate, and what does that mean to you?
I think it's from my parents directly. This is my family. My two aunts and my mom were teachers in the Flint communities. My mom was 33 years. She's the youngest. And they like 40 years plus teaching in the Flint school. So just seeing them, the effort they put in, not only but teaching, but mentoring these kids, providing for them, everything that I'm doing, they was doing it back then for the community and their kids. Kind of like my oldest aunt was like around the time of the Black Panthers when they first came into Flint. So they was, the original intent was like to help the community. So she was all into that type of thing. My dad was my AAU basketball coach from the age of 9 until 17 until I graduated. And just seeing him, like just firsthand, a coach and a dad and a father figure, all those things, and just the stories he had for us back then I was like, oh dad, you know, talking about whatever, you old school whoop. Yeah. My friends was listening, and then we got older, we started talking, and it's like, man, your dad really helped me with this. I'm like, dang, he is really cool. I wanna be like him. And but I'm like, I am like him. I'm acting like him right now. So yeah. It's just what I've seen those my parents put into the community and to different my peers around around the country. And I was like, man, I wanna do something like that. My dad always preached to me, like, when I find when I get that platform, find your niche, like find something you want to do. You have to do everything or what everybody else is doing, do what you want to do. And education was something big in my heart because my mom always preached it, like football, win, lose, or draw, what's your grades like, are you passing, how are you mentally and all those things. So that's what it's about. And just you can't play sports if you have education. And I feel like reading is an even bigger issue because a lot of kids, like their confidence and a lot of the problems you see, I think, arise from not having that foundation, can't comprehend, can't articulate what's going on inside you to be able to express it. And then it turns into going to school and trying to be like the cool person or the clown and not dissing the schoolwork, which is gonna actually help you down the road to get the next person out of your situation as well. But when I started digging into it, literacy was like, it was big, it was a big problem, not only amongst children, but adults as well. So I'm like, the adults don't know, they can't teach the kids, so let me just start with these kids first and get the foundation right. So we can get them on their way, and because they're gonna be taking care of us when we get older and we keep breaking our legs and stuff. Right? So that's what it came down to, man.
Right, right. Cool. Well, Brandon, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Really good pitch right there. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Well, great stuff from Brandon. I hope we didn't make him late for the team meeting because he literally just sprinted out the door. Yeah. I'm saying sprint. He looks like he's healthy. Yeah. I can tell. Because he is sprinting down the team. You know he'd throw us under the bus, too. He walks in 1 minute late. Harbs, where the hell have you been? Garrett and Ryan.
Yeah.
The first
words
out of his mouth, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah, exactly. but, yeah, he was great. I mean, we could totally have him come back and spend even more time with him. We left a little meat on the bone there.
I kind of feel bad about telling my stupid story about my broken bone.
I know. You're telling your dumb story right in the middle of, like, crunch time.
I didn't realize that we were tied up against the clock.
Yeah. It's like basically the shot clock is winding down and you start dribbling to between the legs doing and one stuff as 5, 4, 3, 2 shot clock just runs out.
Thank God you dished it to Brandon. He jacked up the three there at the end.
Yeah, he swished nothing but net. All right, and before we go, we want to let people know the code word. You've probably been listening intently, waiting on this the entire time. Again, this is for our 25 days of giveaways. And what you can do, you can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. First person to do that is going to be the winner of
with
this
the code
big prize.
Word.
And the code word is #podcastbump.
Do they have to have the hashtag in it? Or can they just say podcast bump?
If they forget the hashtag, whatever. I'll go ahead and give it to them. Well, it's like, I don't got to get too picky on that.
But you better just have podcast bump in that email.
Yeah, and so again, the email for that is thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. The winner of that will win 3 hours of free limo service from the best limos here in Baltimore and also the signed football by Marshall Yanda.
Can take that limo straight to get some nice winter beers.
Yeah, right?
Drop. You got a DD.
Yeah, perfect.
So thank you for listening as always, and we'll be back with you next week after another win, another Dubs over the Indianapolis Colts.